Genesis chapter 41, we're back to our study in the life of Joseph. Now I'm just going to read, I'm not going to read the whole passage again, but I'm just going to read verse 25. Genesis chapter 41, verse 25. The word of God says, "And Joseph said on to Pharaoh, 'The dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do.'" Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. The closing chapters of Genesis are taken up with the times of Joseph. In the passage that has been read this afternoon, Pharaoh has dreamed a dream. A dream that left him troubled. And that word troubled means he was stirred up and he was anxious because he didn't know what the dream meant. Pharaoh then turned to his advisors, his counselors, to give him a help, to give him a word, to give him the meaning of the dream. At this time, Pharaoh had the best minds in Egypt. They were the ones who were to give him an answer of peace. However, we discover that not one of them, the best minds of Egypt, could give Pharaoh an answer. His advisors, his counselors, they tried to solve heavenly and spiritual matters with earthly and fallen philosophy. Their mind was blinded by sin and their understanding was darkened. The reason being, Pharaoh's dream was a message from God, and therefore it could only be revealed, its clear message, by the spiritual man. And in the whole event, God ordered every situation that Pharaoh would hear of Joseph as one who can interpret dreams. And in trouble, Pharaoh then calls for Joseph. All that occurred in Joseph's life was no mistake. God arranged every detail so Pharaoh would hear about Joseph. Pharaoh would hear there was one who could interpret dreams. And we learn Pharaoh straight away, he seeks for Joseph. He seeks this answer because he learned Joseph was the answer. And therefore, as we have drawn parallels from the life of Joseph to the life of Christ, we have seen God's intervention and we have seen God's dealings throughout this whole book. And the whole book points even to the Lord Jesus Christ, because we find in Jesus Christ, he is the one that has the answer. He is the one who has the answer for the souls of men, those who are troubled, those who are burdened, those who are anxious about the things, about the message, those who don't know what it all means. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is the answer, and he always will be the answer. He is the answer for you to have your sin forgiven. He is the answer to have hope in a time of trouble. He is the answer when it comes to your eternal life. Jesus Christ is the answer for your church, your community, your college, your school, your family, whatever you want to mention. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is the answer. And so all in this book and all in the life of Joseph has all been ordered. It's all been planned. Nothing has gone pear-shaped. Nothing's gone by mistake. Nothing's gone off course. Every detail has all gone according to the plan of God, because God is working out in the life of Joseph his plan of redemption for the nation and for the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so to make the application to our own lives, God orders your path. No mistake of all that has happened to you this week. The very fact you're here today, it's not by chance, it's not by luck, it's not because there's nowhere else to go. God has ordered you to this house this day. He has directed your paths today for you to hear a word of God. The Lord directs our paths, that people who come into our path or who we meet, that they can hear an answer of peace for their troubled souls. And therefore, we learn through our life, God directing everything, the Lord Jesus is the answer for the troubled and anxious heart. And I say to you, men and women today, whatever you're going through, trials, troubles, or whether you're anxious about your soul, where will you spend eternity? Because we know, as we will learn in this message, there is a day when we will die. And I say to you this day, when it comes to these matters, whether death, depression, anxiety, you need comfort, bereavement, whatever it may be, the Lord Jesus Christ is the answer for the troubled and anxious soul. And therefore we pray that you will come this day as Pharaoh did and call for Joseph and found in Joseph all he needed, because all we need is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, as we think of today's message, we learn of Joseph, Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dream. Notice, first of all, Joseph's insight of Pharaoh's dream really covers verses 17 down to verse 24. But if we connect verse 16 and verse 25, verses 17 to 25, we read verse 16, "And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." And of course, that answer comes through Joseph. Verse 25, "Joseph said on to Pharaoh, The dream is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do." And so Joseph points Pharaoh Godward. He makes it clear God is the one who will give the answer, and he will give that answer through his servant. But that answer rests upon what he is about to do. Do you grasp that? The answer is what God is about to do. The same insight was given years later. Remember, during the time of Daniel, when he was called to interpret the dream of King Nebuchadnezzar. Again, that king, he had dreams that troubled him, and he didn't know what the dreams meant. And we read in Daniel chapter 2, verse 28, "There is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days." So his dream centered upon things that would take place in a future day, things that have been fulfilled and other things waiting to be fulfilled. But God showed King Nebuchadnezzar the course of history in the future for the rising and falling of different empires. Babylon, then to the Medes and Persians, then to Greece, and then to the unnamed empire, but we know through history, to be Rome who conquered Greece. And so it was a message about future days, things that will happen in the latter days. And that's the same what happens here with Pharaoh's dream. It's all about what will happen in days to come, in latter days. It's all about what God is about to do. Verse 32, Joseph said, "For the dream was doubled on to Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass." Notice that. This dream is about what God is about to do. And Pharaoh has this dream twice, because this dream is established. There's no reversing. There's no forgetting. There's no changing of it. God has said what he's about to do. Another term for what God is about to do, or what God does, or the thing that is established by God, is called God's eternal decree. What is a decree? Or what does the word decree mean? Well, it is a decision that is made, that is binding, made that is law. And therefore, it is established, it's binding, it is unchanging, it is a decree. For instance, we read in Daniel chapter 6 about the law of the Medes and the Persians, or the law that was a decree made. Ezra chapter 5, verse 13, King Cyrus made a decree to build this house of God. Luke chapter 2, verse 1, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." And now when we come to God's decree, his decree is eternal and unchanging. And included in God's eternal decree are men's decrees, because nothing takes place outside of God's decree, outside of God's will. He rules over the affairs of men. He is King of Kings and he is Lord of Lords. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will. And so learn, all that comes to pass is established, ordained, decreed by God. Again, the catechism, and we have those out there. Please take the shorter catechism and learn it. And even our youth group, when we meet once a month, we go through the catechism. We learn question 7. What are the decrees of God? The decrees of God are his eternal purpose, according to the counsel of his own will, whereby for his own glory he hath foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. Question number 8. How doth God execute his decrees? The answer, God executeth his decrees in the works of creation and providence. God's decree is established by himself. And again, we will cover this on Wednesday nights. Hope this whets your appetite, by the way, for the Bible studies on Wednesday nights, because we'll go through the decree of God in greater detail. And so, God's decree is established by himself. Nothing outside of God affects him. Nothing causes him to work. He works, he establishes, he decrees for his own pleasure. Everything that God has decreed comes into existence, and it comes to pass because he has decreed it. And he decrees it, he establishes, he orders it, he makes it binding for his own purpose. God's decree comes to pass not because God knows what will come to pass or what will take place, but because he has decreed it to take place and to come to pass. And therefore, whatever takes place is according to his divine decree. Every detail within his decree, within his law, which is according to his purpose, his pleasure, is certain and it is fixed. That means you can rest and know that everything in your life works according to his decree, works according to his sovereign plan and purpose. Whatever comes into your life, whatever happens this week or last week, we said it's not gone pear-shaped. It's not because of bad luck. It's not because you walked under that ladder or whatever it may be. It's because of God's eternal decree. He works in your life, through your life, by your life, in situations, in places you go to, in people you meet, because it all works together for his eternal decree. God is working out what he has decreed, and he works it out in creation through his people, and he does it by his providence. He works behind the scene to make everything happen, and that's what we're learning in Joseph's time. God is working behind the scenes. Everything that we read about Joseph, and we think, oh, it's not just terrible that happened there. Oh, and another thing has happened there. It's just terrible. But God is working it all out for his own purpose. And God has a plan. God has a purpose. And it is relating to redemption. And therefore, from eternity, God's plan is unchangeable to all his creatures. In Ephesians 1, verse 4, His plan has been ordained before the foundation of the world. Do you know what happens to you this week? God, we'll put it like this. When I make a plan, or we make plans for this church, don't we? Well, let's sit down and get a calendar. We meet with the committee, man. You know, what about this service? And or else you're making something for this week. Now let me see what I could do here tomorrow or do the next day. Do you know on Monday night, God doesn't sit up and say, now what's going to happen to you tomorrow? Let's find out. Do you know that? Or the next week or the next day. Your life has been planned, arranged from before the foundation of the world. And therefore, God knows every single detail about your life, every struggle, every pain. He knows it all because he's planned it all. So it just didn't decide last night. God decided that would happen the next day. He knew all about it. And we should rest in that truth. Nothing happens in your life by chance, mistake, or just decided to happen. God has planned it all. But in his plan, he's working out for his glory and your good. And at times we may never find out the full extent of it all. At times God reveals it to us all. But what he wants us to know, and we go back to what we learned in our Bible study about the incomprehensibility of God, we will never know everything about God or how God works. But God is noble. What he wants us to know is that he is at work in our lives. And what he has decreed will come to pass. Because this dream that Pharaoh has, he hasn't got a clue what it means. And he finds Joseph's the one who can tell him. And Joseph said, here's what the dream is all about. It's about what God is about to do. And you can read this Bible, because this Bible is God's decree to you. What God is about to do in your life, through your life, and what God has done through the life of Christ. Here's the point where we're getting at. Joseph is stating what God is about to do will come to pass. That's the whole key in this chapter, in this dream. What God has said is about to do will take place. That's the whole point. God means what he says and says what he means. Pharaoh, his dream, relates to days that will come, matters covering a number of years. And it's all about a time of preparation and then a famine. And Joseph is clear. A famine is coming. It has been established by God. And this famine that's going to come, it is irreversible. This decree, what God is about to do, it's not going to be reversed. It's going to take place. It cannot be stopped. Pharaoh, you have dreamed about a famine that's coming. God has decreed it. He's ordered it. Here's God, what he's about to do. And Pharaoh understood this. And Joseph makes it clear. And God is working through Joseph, his own sovereign plan. One, to provide and preserve the nation for the first coming of Jesus Christ, but also has the second coming in view. Protecting, providing, and preserving the promised seed line. Because remember, the line that Christ will come through is the line of Judah, who is Joseph's brother, who is one of the sons of Jacob, who make up the tribes of Israel. And the tribe of Judah, that's the line that the Lord Jesus will come through in a future day. Now, obviously, a future day is in from Joseph's time, of course. We know Christ has come, so let me make that clear to you. But the point is this here. This famine's going to come. And if they die in this famine, then obviously it hinders that. And so what happens is God raises up Joseph in this situation. He has ordered every single thing that Joseph will be there. And through Joseph, he will be the one who will provide for the nation. And he will be the one to preserve the nation for the first coming of Jesus Christ. So God has everything sorted, because his view is all about redemption and about saving a people within the everlasting covenant of grace. The Lord Jesus has come to save a people, and that people will be saved. Not one of them will be lost. And so always look to the Word of God. Look to Scriptures to see what God is doing. And we can look at Scripture and we can see God's decree concerning the first coming of Christ, what he established, and it was fulfilled. Christ came into the world, born of the seed of David from the tribe of Judah in Bethlehem for the saving of sinners. And therefore, just as God decreed the first coming of Christ and it came to pass, so the Lord has also decreed the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is detailed many times throughout the life of Joseph, even as he stands before his brethren and he's exalted among the people. He's high and lifted up. And one day Christ will return. That will come to pass. And the whole point is this, dream, what God's about to do. Pharaoh, a famine is coming. And therefore, Pharaoh, it's not going to change. It's coming. But here's the point. You must make preparation. You must be ready for the coming famine. That's the whole point. This is what God is about to do. A famine is coming, Pharaoh. There's going to be devastation. But you must make preparation for this famine. And now, men and women, as God's decreed the second coming of Christ, so we learn God has decreed a day when he will judge the world. And every one of us will give an account before the Lord. If you're saved, you will stand before him not to be accounted for sin, but about your service. But if you're not saved, you will stand before him as your judge to sentence you to a lost eternity. And therefore, this is now a time of preparation, because Joseph's telling Pharaoh, here's what God is about to do. And in a sense, Joseph is the messenger to Pharaoh. And I'm the messenger here today for you men and women. And I'm telling you what God is about to do in the future. What he has decreed will come to pass. Because we know what is the end of them who believe not the gospel? The end of the ungodly, they shall perish. And therefore, men and women, young person, if you neglect so great salvation, you will perish. I tell you, here's what God is about to do in a future day, and you need to make preparation. Are you ready for that day? Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? Are you ready for a day of judgment? Because it will come. It will be that day. You must be ready. How do you stand now? At that time, Pharaoh was not ready. He was not prepared. But Joseph told him he needed to get prepared for that day. And therefore, unsaved one, you're not prepared. You're not ready for that everlasting famine. The wrath of God. You need to be saved. Sitting in church is good, but not good enough. You must have Christ as your Savior. You must do what Joseph did. Seek Joseph. You must seek the Savior as the one who can give you what you need. Joseph had the insight. And therefore, child of God, you have the insight as well. What God is about to do, it's found in the Word of God. Notice secondly, briefly, Joseph's interpretation of Pharaoh's dream, verses 26 to 32. Upon hearing this dream from Pharaoh, from verses 17 to 24, and then God giving the answer to Joseph, Joseph then gave the interpretation, the meaning of the dream, from verses 26 to 32, that what God is about to do and what is actually going to come to pass. But in giving the interpretation, the message is once again a message of life and death. A famine is coming to Egypt. And therefore, the message is prepare for the famine. Be ready for the famine or perish. Again, verse 26, seven good kine are 7 years, and seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. Basically, the interpretation. 7 years of plenty. Here's the preparation time. Here's getting ourselves ready. And then there'll be 7 years of famine, of barren, of nothingness. And what you do in this preparation of plenty of 7 years will determine what happens in the next time. And so the point is this. What you do now on earth will depend what happens to you in eternity. If you fail to make preparation for your soul in life, you will be in hell in eternity. But if you have Christ, if you've made preparation on earth, then when it comes to eternity, you'll be safe and secure. I'm telling you, men and women, throughout this week, you know as good as I have on the news of the people ushered out into eternity. Even this week, even celebrities and all the rest, all stand equal foot. Death comes to all. The high, the low, the rich, the poor, everyone to mention, even close to us all. And I've said this morning about a death, even in our own family with my wife and her nephew, 23 years old. I say to you, are you ready? Are you prepared? It's a message of life and death. Joseph interprets the message that was given by God, because the message comes back to Joseph. God's answer centers upon Joseph's work and his wealth. Joseph owns the storehouses that will be full of supplies. He is the one who's able and qualified to meet the need. And therefore God has put Joseph in such a situation that Pharaoh will view Joseph as the only one able and qualified to carry out what needs to be done to save from perishing when the famine comes. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke 24. He spoke to the two on the road to Emmaus. They didn't understand the message, the meaning of Calvary, though they had heard it many, many times. And yet Christ came to them. He opened to them the scriptures and he gave the message and the meaning why he had to suffer these things to enter into glory. Because through his life, his death, his resurrection, he was accepted by God for the justification of ungodly sinners he came to save. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior, the only one who you must view today as qualified to save you and to keep all he saves. There is no other good enough to die to take away sin. Only Christ could honor the Lord. And therefore God ordered Christ's steps to Calvary. He came into this world to be obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. His death guaranteed entrance into heaven for all who trust in him. And therefore, believer, aren't you glad for the one who God sent to you to tell you the message of amazing grace, the message of Jesus Christ? And you viewed Christ as your only hope, your only deliverance from sin's guilt and sin's punishment. And therefore, I urge you to do the same for others. Spread the gospel of grace around. There is life in the risen Lord. Tell men and women as John the Baptist did. Prepare them to flee from wrath to come and put before them the Lord Jesus Christ, not as one of many, but the only one who can save, the only one who can spare you, deliver from the wrath of God. Because in Christ is all that's needed. As Spurgeon used to say, for great sinners, there's a great Savior. Hallelujah. And therefore, men and women today, you see yourself as a great sinner because there's a great Savior who's able to save all who come unto him by faith. Finally and briefly, Joseph's instruction from Pharaoh's dream. Verses 33 to 37. When Pharaoh unburdened himself to Joseph, Joseph told him, and he told Joseph all the troubles of his heart and he couldn't sleep. Joseph gives him the answer. He tells him what he is to do. Verse 32, let Pharaoh look out a man, discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. And let Pharaoh do this, and appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the 70th years. And so Joseph's point is this, you need to get a man, one man who's wise, who's discreet, one man who can rule the kingdom because there's work to be done. And only that one man can do it. But here's the point. Pharaoh knows fine rightly there's no one in the kingdom. They're all scoundrels. They're all a take-on. They haven't got a clue. And he knows when it comes to this preparation, they're going to fail. And they're not trustworthy. Again, the word discreet and wise. Look at a man, discreet and wise. The man, the word discreet, it means to discern, understand knowledge. The word wise means wisdom. And so discernment, understanding, is the knowledge of what needs to be done. Wisdom is the application. Wisdom is doing what needs to be done. And so Joseph tells Pharaoh, get a man who knows what needs to be done, and that man to do what needs to be done. And of course, Pharaoh looks at the kingdom, can't find anyone. But there's only one who he can find, who is wise and discreet. There's only one his eyes looks upon. One man who can do, who knows what needs to be done, and can do and will do what needs to be done. And that is Joseph. And then he says, verses 38 to 40, verse 41, I have set thee, Joseph, you, over the land of Egypt. Now, there's more verses we'll go into on a later date. But Joseph was put to the front. Pharaoh fixed his eyes upon Joseph. Joseph, you're the man's chosen. You're the provider, the preserver of the nation. There's none other can meet the need. There's none other can do what the message says. Only Joseph can do it because it points to Christ. He's the only one chosen to be the Redeemer. He's the only mediator between God and man. He's the only one who knows what needs to be done to honor God, which is to obey God's law perfectly and pay the penalty of the law. And he's the only one who can do it. He's the only one who can fulfill all righteousness and satisfy God. And he's the one who did it. And therefore, verse 32, God will shortly bring it to pass. Pharaoh, God's established this famine, and he's going to shortly bring it to pass. You need to get this sorted. And therefore, men and women, you must share the gospel, because God's determined a day he will judge the world, and it will shortly come to pass. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Don't put up. And I say to you listening today, if you're not saved, don't put up. Don't say, you know what, I'll get this sorted tomorrow. I have things to do. Get it sorted out now. There's nothing more important than your soul. Your soul is eternal. Your soul is valuable. And therefore, your soul must be saved. Is there one here today, young person, older person, you're not saved, and you know fine rightly? Will you come today and ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior? I cannot save you. I can lead you to the Lord. You can sit where you are right now and just say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Save me and let me know after you've done that. But there's a day of wrath coming, a day of judgment coming, and God could have you here for your warning to let you know. Wouldn't it be terrible this week if someone in this congregation was ushered into God's eternity, and they had just heard that week, the day of wrath is coming. Get prepared, and you fail to prepare. I say, nothing happens by chance, nothing happens by mistake. God orders everything for a purpose, for a cause. Therefore, men and women, young person, be right with God just now. He is the one who is steadfast and secure. He's the one who is able to give peace to the trouble as he did to Pharaoh. I'm glad Pharaoh made preparation for the famine. And he found in Joseph a bountiful supply. And I tell you this, Jesus Christ is all that you will need for life and eternity. Everything is found in him, not in the church, not in the priest, not in some whatever you want to mention. It's found in Christ and in Christ alone. May the Lord write his word upon our heart for his name's sake. Amen.